On the way here, I was on the phone with my OEM team, and we now have guidance coming from the state. And that guidance does say two different things. First of all, there is a downed drone in our vicinity. We are immediately to call the bomb squad of our county. And second, our fire department has been instructed to make sure they wear hazmat suits.
So if something falls out of the sky that people have seen, and some of these things are as big as an SUV, if that happens, you're to treat this more than a plane crash. It's treated like an attack on the homeland?
That is correct, because they're not quite sure if there's a payload or not. On the way.
What? They're not quite sure that it's a pay. Okay, I got concerns. I got concerns. Where's the good old boy network? Get them out here. Call them up. Because they need it. Okay, first off, let's greetings and salutations. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. This is like a what came first, the chicken or the egg question. Is it seem like there's more drones flying out and around everywhere, or is it that people are just paying attention to the fact that there are all of these drones flying out everywhere?
I think it's both.
Kane,
I think there is
both.
More, and now more people are paying attention. I think it's both.
So you think it goes both ways?
I think it does.
Because, I mean, it especially like in some of the airspace that I've seen them, they've said that they've been flying like near military bases. I mean, this is like restricted stuff, right? I mean, this is like restricted, you know, areas. So I've got concerns because I'm like, well, if you and I flew a drone over there, what would happen to us? Because you have to register them. That's the other thing. Like, are these not registered? And if they're not registered, like I was under the impression that, oh, if you don't register your stuff with the FAA or the appropriate agency, then, you know, you're going to get it shot out the sky. That's kind of what I was under the impression.
Do you want a little morsel of how deep I got into the rabbit hole on this over the weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Is this what you did all weekend?
Well, not all weekend. It's
okay,
just that,
so
you know,
that's Kane for yes.
I may have bought more
what?
Reynolds
what?
Wrap.
Get into it.
Well,
aliens, right? Tell me.
There was a rabbit hole that said that, hey, imagine these are, you know, obviously they're not shooting them down. They're over our military bases. It's near military bases. It's clearly us, you know, up there with those FAA lights and everything. Under that assumption, there was talk of radioactive material being shipped into the United States.
Okay, that was one guy's
That wasn't just one guy's.
Oh, my gosh.
Why do you always do this?
Okay, go ahead.
Why do you always do this?
Go on.
So, they are our drones at night. The only time you're going to fly at night, because as a drone, you're not going to see much unless you have special detection equipment, i.e. looking for radioactive signatures while in the air. So that was one of the rabbit holes that I went down.
So
Saturday night.
Because I saw that, and it was this dude, for those of you who are not following the drone thing like Kane or IR. I mean, I'm not saying that I stayed up like, you know, till 1:30 in the morning reading about drone stuff. But maybe I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning reading about drone stuff. I don't know. Look at the timestamp of some of the audio I sent you.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, none of us did. But it's just, you know, I don't know. I
wasn't able to verify what that guy's saying, the guy we're talking about.
Because he was a guy who worked, he worked in aerospace engineer, something like that. It was some rando's thought process on social media. And of course the media sees a rando and they're like, it's a slow news cycle. We gotta publish and print everything he's saying.
That is true.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. So again, welcome to the program. We've got, oh my gosh, a lot for you today. It's Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also follow the radio program on the simulcast of the radio program. You can find that out, Channel 347, DirecTV, the chats at Rumble. You can find us on X, all those good things. And we got Ketanji Brown Jackson on Broadway. We got Palace Intrigue. We got all kinds of stuff. It's the week before Christmas. Half of you are mentally checked out. I'll be real, y'all are. Half of you are mentally checked out. And that's okay, because it's the season. You know, it's the season, right? So we're going to get you set up as we roll into Christmas all those good things, and get you all set up for the week. It's going to be our show the last week before Christmas. I'm going to warn you, it's weird because the news cycle's dry, except for like every time we do this, there are always one or two wild stories going into Christmas break. And the drone thing is one of them. And I am obsessed, because you guys know I'm obsessed with ancient aliens. I'm obsessed with aliens. One of my dream vacations is to get my photo pictured right outside the gate where after you go past it, they'll shoot you at Area 51. Like Kane and Ivy, I planned a whole road trip from Vegas once in SHOT Show, going all the way up the 2 hours that it would take to get to the area, to Roswell, and then the little truck stop outside and the little hotel and then all this. And you get, I know where the gravel road, I mean, I know all this. I'm totally on a government watch list. Listen to me. I sound like Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia right now, like his stalker wall. That's what I sound like. So I know where the, I'm obsessed. So I'm like, I really desperately want this to be aliens, because if it's just us looking for radioactive stuff, that's super boring, unless there's a kaiju somewhere in New Jersey and that's what we're looking for. Because, you know, as you know, according to canon, canonically, kaijus, Kane, they feast upon radioactive nuclear things. And so that would make sense. That's kind of a stretch, but here we are. It's 2024, you know, just saying. So we got a lot. I did say Ketanji Brown Jackson on, how do you guys send me, what in the world? How do you guys send stuff this fast? Already, I got to come. Like, what do you mean, Ketanji Brown Jackson's Supreme Court on Broadway? Yes, we'll get to that. That was quick. We'll get to it. So as we, we got a lot of stuff to hit, just trust. All right, so first up, like we said, we've been talking about all this drone stuff. There was one, listen to this. Is this, we played three coming in, right? That was audio somebody three?
Four.
Okay, play three. This is Channel 7, ABC affiliate. It's a glowing orb on camera in the New Jersey sky. Look at it.
You know, when things like this are happening, it seems like everyone starts to look up, like my crew and I have been here in Mendham recording this video that you're looking at right now. We have no idea what it is, if it's a natural phenomenon, because it could be. But this is why so many municipalities are now asking people to reach out and send their videos to them or to experts who might be able to sort out what they're seeing in the skies. But I guarantee there are so many people looking up and making those recordings,
like,
because this mystery.
So for those
is
of you who are not watching the simulcast of the radio program, so back in the day, it's still there. It's called the Magic House. It's in Kirkwood, right? First neighborhood I lived in after I moved out of my house. And they had this thing, and it was, what was it? It was like the static electricity ball where you touched it and your hair would stand up. Oh. And everybody would touch it, and they would get their photo taken, and you'd put it on a pin saying, I visited the Magic House, right? So it looks like they sent that up into the air over Jersey. That's what it looks like. It looks like the Magic House orb completely. Juan says it looks like a lens flare. Or, guys, the obvious answer here, it's aliens. Just saying.
It's gotta be.
Gotta be aliens. See, you all are going to be surprised when, like, the saucer lands, when they finally feel safe enough to land in our high crime planet. And when they get out and they're like, who would your leader take us to your leader? You all are going to be surprised. Your girl's not. I'm just going to be like, I expected this. I saw it coming. Sup, aliens? You know, don't laser nuke us, bro. I can't breathe. It's just so much more interesting if it's aliens. If it's just like basic government stuff, how long have we lived with basic government conspiracy theories, right, that go nowhere? Show us some aliens. Just saying. All right. So, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, here's a military drone expert. He says he knows in audio soundbite 7 what is happening here.
This is that guy.
Oh, this is the guy. Okay. This is the rando. That's what I thought. This is the rando that's, okay, all right. This is the rando that was on X who is taught. I don't know. Maybe. It's an interesting theory. Just go ahead and listen.
I'm making this video because I have figured out
this is a different guy.
What the
we
drone
lied.
Situation is. I was in the Army, active duty. I worked on drones. I was a maintenance NCO for some surveillance drones. And before that, I worked on the Apache, the Kiowa. I know aviation. So what people are not noticing is that you have two separate types of drones and two separate types of things in the air right now. First off, the drones that you see with flight lights or anti-collision lights or the things that the FAA requires, those are drones that are probably operated by the United States government. Now, the orbs that you've been seeing on the internet, that is the reason why all those drones are up there. And that is also why the government isn't telling you what's going on. And that's because the drones that you see that look like regular aircraft, those drones are up there to get some information on the actual orbs.
Yeah, it's aliens. It's aliens. It's all aliens. I don't care what this guy. It's, you know what? I'm also not a military expert, but I am an expert in stuff I see in the sky. Like I can look up and I'm like, that's a bird. That's the sun. That's the moon. That's a cloud. That's a damn alien. I can look right up and see it. That's my expertise. Take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. I will say this News Nation reporter, Audio Soundbite 8, was like, he said that his entire view of this changed because he witnessed 50 of them. You need to watch this. 50 of them flying into the Garden State from the Atlantic. Watch.
Hi, Elizabeth. Well, I got to be honest here. You know, when this story first came out a few weeks ago, as a resident of New Jersey, as a journalist, I didn't pay it much credence. I thought it would turn out to be a bunch of pranksters and this would all be over by now. The experience I had last night, however, changed the way I feel about this story completely. What I saw was more sophisticated than I ever imagined.
More sophisticated than he ever imagined. There's video, and there are different videos and different photographs of like a whole herd of them. I don't know what you call, like, if it's a bunch of crows, it's a murder of crows, right? I don't know what you, just a bunch of drones, a buttload of drones. How about that? It's an actual measurement. It's a metric system. So there was video, show them all coming in from the Atlantic. And that was kind of creepy, right? That was a little creepy. But then I'm like, how did you get that footage? Did you send a drone up? How many of that is just drones watching for drones? And then how many of them are, you know, the UAPs? That's the other thing. Like, I don't want to, but it is weird, but we don't have any questions from the government. I do have more, or answers. I do have more. So we got the drones. We're going to come back to this. We also, a couple of other things before we, I can't believe, really already the first segment? Ketanji Brown Jackson was on Broadway in And Juliet, a queer twist on Romeo and Juliet. Why couldn't you just write your own story? Why do you have to appropriate Romeo and Juliet? Like, why do we got to do this stuff? It looks weird, guys. I think it's beneath the dignity of a Supreme Court justice to play theater kid, right? We got to talk more about this because she's on stage. Like, she said that she wanted to, I guess, check the box of being the first black female Supreme Court justice to appear on a Broadway stage. That's like the weirdest want ever, right? It's like, I would like to be the first person to wear two shoes on my left foot at the same time. It's really weird stuff. We're going to come back to this. We got a lot. In addition to that, we've got the palace intrigue, the cabinet picks. We're going to talk about the SecDef drama a lot more. And our partners over at Burn a Gun, the non-firearm. And it's always good to diversify your self-defense arsenal. Because, you know, I would love to, I carry all the time, and I have zero problem using lethal force. You come at me, UFA, UFO. That's kind of how I look at it. But I know that there are areas that are gun-free zones or gun-free buildings, private property or whatever it is. And sometimes, you know, you don't have the luxury of declining to go there. Maybe you got to go there as part of your job, but you also don't want to be a statistic. This is where Burn a Gun comes in. Stun guns, regular ones, are restricted to like one or two shots. Burna's most popular model, the Burna SD, has a 5-round capacity and shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. They have a whole carry bundle that you can get. This is a great holiday gift, too, by the way. You can get defense spray. They have a LE launcher carry bundle. They got all kinds of stuff. But it provides to you instant readiness, no recoil, easy target acquisition. It's legal in all 50 states. No background checks, no permits. They can ship it right to your front porch, and it doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It's an effective deterrent, and it's another option that you can have for self-defense, particularly when the state's trying to deny you, or maybe a property owner wants to deny you. You can visit Byrna.com/Dana and get 10% off your purchase. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
This liberal attorney general thinks it's Amazon's fault. The AG of DC is going after Amazon because of delivery times in rough neighborhoods. Maybe if he would go after the crime, the deliveries would come quicker. Amazon's just protecting their employees. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Today in Why We Need to Beat More A-Double Snakes, Spare the Rod and Spoil the Child, massive brawl involving 100-plus Chicago students, three school floors, and it left four police officers injured. This is crazy. It was a Chicago high school. The police department said five people were arrested per ABC 7. They didn't provide any details, but apparently it involved like 14 and 15-year-olds. It escalated into a brawl between, it started between girls. And then it just expanded into like a multi-floor brawl. And then everybody started fighting. It was a Southside high school. Students were in handcuffs. 100 students were fighting on three different floors. They had to use mace. It was just going crazy. And they put the building on lockdown. That's crazy. I mean, that's, you know, my gosh. Come on, parents. Come on, parents. We got to get your kids in check here. Chris Rock stunned the SNL. Apparently, it was called one of the funniest monologues in the past 50 years. Chris Rock on SNL. I didn't watch SNL because I don't think anybody watches SNL except their families and like 90-year-olds. And they said that he apparently had a super brutal Bill Clinton dig and was savaging people who irrationally hate, not dislike or disagree with, but irrationally hate Trump. I'm going to have to watch it because it sounds very interesting. Jamie Foxx says he got hit in the mouth with a glass during a dinner altercation, and he needed stitches. Man, this man has been going through it, like a stroke and then now this. Apparently, people were being rude and vulgar, and then he asked them to stop because his family was present, and then somebody at the table threw glass that hit him in the face. And so the cops are involved, stitches, etc. We've got a lot more to get into. The economy. We got Trump's remarks, UAPs, the SecDef stuff. Stick with us. Our partners over at Preborn, great organization that's out there saving lives right and left. And they're meeting with mothers and they're helping them as these mothers are facing an unexpected pregnancy or unplanned pregnancy, I should say. And a lot of people are searching for hope, and a lot of people feel like a lot of women, they think that that's their last resort, and it's not. And that's what Preborn Ministry steps in to help with. They meet these women. They introduce them to their babies. Ultrasounds, they listen to the heartbeat. When that happens, studies have shown that a child's chance of surviving doubles at that point. But that's not all. They partner with these women up until the toddler years, making sure that these families get the best start. And that just goes so much. That's exactly what is needed. They steward these women. They help this new life. And they're able to do it because of your generous donations. Save a life this Christmas. It starts at just $28. I mean, by donating that amount, you can help support women and babies in need and provide vital care and resources. You can make even a larger life-changing donation, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. You can use that to save countless babies. Maximize your year-end tax deduction. It's doubled with a special matching grant as well. So your gift will have double the impact. Any donation matters. So if you want to know how to donate, it's simple and easy. You just dial pound or for millennials, hashtag #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. You can also visit preborn.com/Dana to donate online. Every contribution counts. #250, say the keyword baby, preborn.com/Dana.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Mr. President?
Yes, please.
Do you expect Ron DeSantis to appoint Laura Trump to Senator Marco Rubio's seat?
No, I don't. I probably don't, but I don't know. Ron's doing a good job. It's his choice, nothing to do with me. Laura's unbelievable. I mean, she was incredible. The job she did at the RNC as chairman, along with Michael Whatley, the combination. But I can just speak for Laura. She is so highly respected by women I mean, even her workout routines are through the roof. She lifts 150 pounds. I don't know how the hell she does it. She's a bad example for men and women sports. Because I wouldn't be able to beat her, I don't believe. I'd try like hell. But, no, she's an incredible woman. And, you know, it's funny. People oftentimes talk about nepotism. I never had... When I put her there, people said, how did you get her to do it? You know, she could have run for the Senate in North Carolina. Ted Budd would be the first to say. And he wouldn't have run. Nobody would have run. And she just said, no, I want to really focus on my children. When the election, and my family, she has a great family. When the election started getting closer, I asked her, would she go to Washington and work on the, you know, as chairman of the committee along with Michael Watley. And they did such an unbelievable job. Especially on cheating, they stopped it, or at least they stymied it. Too big to rig, and we won in a landslide. You know, we won tremendously. She did an amazing job. Now Ron is going to have to make, because Marco has been really a star already, and we haven't started. But you know, we see signs of from some people, or very early, we see signs of stardom, and Marco has done incredibly. He's sort of born for it. It was such an easy decision. The Marco decision was such an easy, but he leaves a vacancy in Florida, and Ron's going to have to make that decision, and he'll make the right decision. I also know that Laura's got so many other things. I mean, she's got so many other things.
So this was a really good soundbite from POTUS-elect, just actually a little bit ago. This was right before we came out on air, and he was asked about this possibility of Lara Trump being put in Marco Rubio's Senate seat, which we've talked a lot about. And Trump just gave the answer right there. He also mentioned that she could go to North Carolina and, you know, really perform well if she were to challenge, you know, Tom Tillis, who is the Republican senator there in North Carolina. And I think that that's a more realistic approach because it's her home state. You know, she was there and then she was in New York, and that's where she, and she's only just moved to Florida. That makes the most sense. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of the first hour, Dana Lash with you. There was a lot of discussion about this over the weekend because of the Army-Navy game. And there was this. Do we have this Maggie Haberman quote? I sent this in. I know we have it. What? 50 million and 24? That, okay, that one. Can we play this? Because so in conjunction with what Trump just said, this is what was really kicking off a lot of this, the rumor mill and the rumor mongering. Listen.
The president-elect Trump had grown tired of hearing all the negative stories about him and was poised to move on. But what's changed his mind?
Sure, John, I think it's still true that he was tired and is tired of negative stories. And what changed was a couple of things. One was Trump could not find a single person in his orbit or even really outside of it who liked this idea of making Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, the defense secretary choice. So, and it was not, you know, we're going to drop Hegseth and going to look for a bunch of other people. It was Hegseth or DeSantis at that point. And so Trump was persuaded, also after a call from Pete Hegseth, to let Hegseth go out and see if he could fight his way past some of these stories.
Now, that actually is more in line with kind of how Trump approaches stuff if you look back at the Kavanaugh thing. But I'd mentioned this. I saw this over the weekend. And I know a lot of people don't like Maggie Haberman. And I don't need to sit here and explain, having been busting my ass for, you know, a decade and a half going after the mainstream press. You know, I don't have to explain, you know, my thoughts on her or legacy press. But here's one thing that I do want to point out, and there's a lot of leaks going on. I have a lot of friends who work actually in his inner circle, in POTUS-elect's inner circle. I have a lot of friends who work with various, I mean, when you've been in broadcasting and in political commentary for a long time, you meet a lot of different people. You develop, some are associates, some are friends, you know, some are just, you know, people that you've met a couple of times. But I've heard a lot of chatter from a lot of people who are, A, have no reason to make it up, and B, they're known for chatter. And I've been hearing this for like a couple of weeks now. The issue here is that there are some operatives that are in Trump's orbit that are very keen to maintain influence. So there are people that always try to one-up each other, and this was something that plagued his first administration. And by the way, because I have to set this as an aside, because the right has, some of the right has adopted some of the personality traits of the left, and that we can't have honest conversations about anything without people, you know, defecating their britches. It's not, you're not passing judgment on Trump, but this, what I'm telling you is what we've all seen, is what we've all observed. We saw this in the first administration. There were people who were leaking. You would have people try to, they were competing. They would try to get one up on each other. And it's like they would leak stories because they thought it would put them on a better track to professionally ascend. And Trump's management style is somewhat loose. And I've known Trump personally for over a decade. His management style is very loose, and he likes people to work hard, and people will compete against each other. And that's one of the things, that's a management style that he has. You gotta make sure you're controlling your circle. However, so some of these are operatives that are really trying to maintain influence, because all this is, this whole thing with Hegseth and DeSantis and all this stuff, and I know both of them. I like both of them. This is all a proxy war from influencers who are trying to maintain their influence in 4 years when Trump leaves office. It's a proxy war for that. That's all this is. These are operatives who are trying to power jockey. That's exactly, because those are the people who are talking. Those are the ones who are chattering. Someone leaked this to her. She didn't just, Maggie Haberman might be a hack, but she didn't just like pull this out of her backside. There are people in his circle, some of them are repeat offenders at leaking to legacy press. And we saw this happen in the first term, his first term. You can't deny it. You don't have to dislike Trump to acknowledge this. You can love Trump and you can still acknowledge that there were people who leaked like hell in his first administration. It's always been a problem. And I think he's gotten rid of a lot of them, but I think some of them are still there because some of the stuff is getting leaked out. She's not the first person to say this. I have been hearing this chatter for 3 weeks. I have been hearing it circulate. It has been written in, like, mentioned in little Politico pieces here and there. And I knew people were building up to it. And I wanted to see what, because sometimes you can tell who's leaking by the reporter that says this stuff on news, right? So I'm watching this. She's not saying anything that I've not heard for like literally 2.5, 3 weeks. And it's not just me. Everyone who's in commentary, because we are nerds, we have to watch this for our living. Like, you have a living, and then you also got to keep a roof over your head. You got to spend time with your family. You're busy. You don't want to play in the sandbox with this political petty, you know, palace intrigue. That's what I do. I got to do that. It's part of my job, and I enjoy it. So we've been all seeing this for a while, and it built up. So she's not just making something up. I know people are mad at her, and granted, there's a million things you can be mad at her for. This ain't one of them. She's just repeating stuff that's been leaked out there for the past couple of weeks now, because people thought that it would be advantageous for them. There are people who are, and by proxy war, I mean, and I don't even know why we're focusing this on this right now. It's the dumbest thing ever. But there are operatives who are new to the game of being an operative who think that they have to have their proxy battle for 28 now. They think that this is a proxy between Vance and DeSantis, and they think that if they have Hegseth and SecDef, then they can keep DeSantis out, because SecDef is a very, very powerful role. I mean, I know vice president is the vice president, but SecDef actually has more weight and influence. It's the most powerful cabinet position you can have. From what I was told, the offer was made twice. It was on the table, and I think DeSantis wanted to finish out Florida and keep that commitment to Florida and finish out what he was elected to do. Not like it was a rejection or something like that of Trump, but that was just kind of, you know, and I get that. There are people who want to do that, you know, and they think that, well, maybe later will be a better time. I get it. But it doesn't make any sense for these operatives to play this game right now. And the reason I say that is because we got to hit the ground running in January. What have I been saying? All gas, no brakes. Trump has 2 years before midterms. Actually, if you want to be really frank about it or really precise, a year and a half before the midterm cycle kicks off. He has got to outmaneuver all of these bureaucrats that have been entrenched in D.C. for longer than he's been interested in politics. And to do that, he's got to have speed, and he has to have everybody in their position ready to rock. They got to blast through confirmation hearings and get to it. Because in order to get things done, speed is his main weapon right now. That is his biggest advantage. The longer he waits, if he drags his feet, if things get bogged down in palace intrigue, guess what? The likelihood of accomplishing the agenda you voted for begins to dissipate. So that's why I get aggravated when I see these little petty wars like this. And that's what this is. It is an operative battle. It's people who are trying to shore up their advantage in 28, maintain influence, and they're using this as a one-sided proxy war, because I don't think that DeSantis is engaged in it. I think it's just these operatives that are having this proxy war. They're not doing their boss any favors. If you want to have a discussion about who's best facilitating his agenda, it's not by doing this. It's not by leaking to members of the press, and it's not by doing all this palace intrigue. He's been meeting with people to fill cabinet positions. He's been cementing policy. You have to have people in your inner circle that you can trust to not get involved in this stuff. He needs the assistance to hit the ground full speed, not with any of this stuff. And so I said, I'm like, all this reads, and this is how I view it too. It looks like his insiders are questioning his judgment and authority. If you're the inner circle and you're creating distracting headlines for the boss, you're not on the same team as the boss for that moment. You're questioning his authority and you're undermining what he's trying to do. These palace intrigue games do no favors on for our side. You got to secure these positions. Getting bogged down in all this is fruitless. Loose lips sink ships, right? What's one of the best movies that's ever been made, Kane? It's The Godfather. And do you guys remember what Vito Corleone, what he told Sonny when they were sitting at that meeting, right? Remember that? They're sitting at a meeting. He's talking to Sollozzo. And Sollozzo's wanting to get into the drugs game, right? And he brings this offer to Vito Corleone. Vito's like, yeah, you know, drugs is not like other, you know, it's not like gambling. It's not like women. He goes and he's talking about the, you know, the corrupt cops on his payroll. He's like, you know, they'll look the other way for that, but drugs is something different. He's like, that's why I must decline, because they wanted Vito Corleone's protection and access to his political capital. And he declined. So that kicked off this war. Sollozzo, you know, they all fired back. And Sonny in this meeting voiced his opinion. And it was a little bit challenging to what Vito Corleone was saying. So afterwards, Vito looks at Sonny. And he gives him advice and he says, never, ever, ever tell anybody outside of the family what you're thinking again. Now, I'm not saying you got to be like The Godfather, but I'm saying that's a rule that any political group should have. And that's the rule that Trump's insiders need to follow. You don't tell people outside your circle what you're thinking. You don't leak to the press like this. You don't speak against the family in the press. You got to run it like that. And if you're not running it like that, you're not running with the team. You're challenging your boss, you're questioning his authority, and you're undermining his agenda. Stop it. Because that's not what we voted for. We didn't vote for you. We voted for him. Some of these operatives need a little bit of humility, and they need to check themselves. They're getting a little too ahead on their skis here. We got a lot more on the way as we roll towards conclusion of this first hour. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Female empowerment! like about it is that I am having a very strongly negative reaction to it. Like, I hate it. Which makes me think it must be brilliant.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that was Ketanji Brown Jackson, Supreme Court Justice, who said she wanted to be the first Black Supreme Court Justice to be on Broadway. I don't think there's been any Supreme Court Justice that's been on Broadway, so you don't even need the black asterisk on it. You don't even need that extra check box on it. Why? I don't think you need to debase yourself. It just seems... Now, don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, because I'm sure you guys don't like Warhammer. So, you know, you don't like it, so I don't like theater. We can not like different things, right? It's okay. I don't like musicals. I hate musicals to death. Actually to death. If my hate could manifest as a fatal weapon, it would be. I cannot suspend my disbelief. It's very uncomfortable. I'm not a theater person. I do like orchestras and I like operas and things like that. I'm just not a theater person. Or as Kane notes, I love the theater of war. I like that more than like the theater, which also is its own war. And I blame Nana, because the very first thing she ever took me to was Cats. Don't even know what the hell. I don't know what is happening. I still don't know. It was a bunch of furries and they sang sad songs. That's all I know. And then the second thing I was made to go to was Rent. And that was about, and I said this 15 years ago, it was about AIDS and jazz hands. And then, I don't know. So that's where I just, why is she doing this? Is it weird? Does it make you, I mean, she's a Supreme Court justice. Does it feel like it's beneath the dignity of that illustrious position? Because I feel like it does, right? It's weird. And was she overacting? Yes. Was it good? No. I don't know. Just doesn't do any favors for theater. Second hour on the way. Stick with us. We're partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. Your money does not go towards the things that you vote against. And that's incredibly important when you're talking about, you know, spending your money and you know, everything that you need to be worried about in this Biden economy. We got till January, guys. But they have an Every Friday Matters special, which is ongoing. It's a limited time offer, though, so while supplies last, where you can get a free smartphone when you make the switch. And you can take advantage of this Every Friday Matters special. It's for a limited time. When you switch your service, you can get a brand new smartphone. And that's the part of their Every Friday Matters special. It's a great way to enjoy their nationwide coverage on all three major networks, support what matters, and work with their U.S.-based customer service team. So it's a free smartphone. Offers eligible only with promo code FRIDAY. Limited time offer until supplies run out. Terms and conditions apply. So make the switch today at patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
But now we ordered an additional 200 miles of wall. It's very expensive. And now it's about double the price of what it would have been 6 years ago. And the administration is trying to sell it for 5 cents on the dollar, knowing that we're getting ready to put it up. And what they're doing is really an act. It's almost a criminal act. They know we're going to use it. And if we don't have it, we're going to have to rebuild it. And it'll cost double what it cost years ago. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars, because you're talking about a lot of wall.
Well, and he's right. This is that story that we had from last week, that we were discussing how Biden was they're selling off parts of the border wall that we bought and paid for like nothing. What's to stop us from like buying it again with our money? Is that a tax write-off? I feel like it should be.
Feels like it should be.
I feel like if you're doing anything for the betterment of the public with your own private money, it should be a tax write-off. Anything. That's what it feels like. We shouldn't have to pay it in the first place, but you know, I digress. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour here on Monday. That's the week before Christmas. It's Christmas Eve week. And we're here at the top of our second hour. Chats at Rumble. 347 is the simulcast of the radio program. You can listen to the radio program on a station terrestrially in your state. They, I mean, it's kind of weird that you would sell it. What would you even use that for, Kane? Could you scrap it?
You could.
I'm just trying to figure out why anybody would buy it.
Scrap it for even more than just pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. Why? That's just so wasteful and dumb. It is. We're just going to get rid of this wall that you all voted for. You voted for the wall. You wanted it. I think this was the first I've heard Trump mention it in a while, so I'm glad he mentioned it, because we can't have this. Not going to be selling off the stuff that we already purchased. This is not a buyback program for walls. You know, if they're selling it off, they need to give us money, and I think we should be able to dictate the price. And then we should, but really, ultimately, we should just erect it down there. That's just pretty simple. The other big debacle for the Biden administration, have you seen, well, first off, you saw the story. This was, I think it was last year when we first started talking about it. Excuse me. The EV, the electric delivery trucks that the administration wanted for like the post office, right? And the post office, which they got more money, right, Kane? They got more money. And I don't know why, for what purpose. They got more money, and they've been running a deficit, and they needed, I don't know what they spend their money on. So they had this proposal for electric vehicles for the post office. They were going to retrofit the entire fleet. And the postal service, it was all going to be electric delivery vehicles. And I'm sure you're going to be very shocked to learn that this has not been successful.
What?
I mean, they really haven't done anything. They've promised all this stuff on EVs, like all the electric charging stations and everything else, but they've not done anything with it. And I'm wondering if the DEI stuff is to blame for this as much as it was for those charging stations. Remember, the charging station debacle was the restrictions on who they could work with, who the government could work with, and who Department of Transportation and who they couldn't. So if you were going to be a contractor and you were going to accept a job building one of those charging stations, you had to be X percent of your company had to be minority. It had to be minority owned. You had to have a translator. You had to do parties in your community, like block parties and stuff. It was the dumbest stuff I've ever seen. So bad that even some of the leftists working in the Department of Transportation were discussing how stupid all of this was and how it was impeding their ability to actually get anything built, because they only built seven, I think. And so now there's this EV bus manufacturer. And pull this up. It's being called Biden's Solyndra. It's where Jennifer Granholm, she served on the board of this company, Proterra. Ever hear of it? Probably not. It's an EV transport company. Jennifer Granholm was on the board, and they got a lot of taxpayer dollars. They were heavily subsidized. Heavily subsidized. And he was pushing, you know, this retrofitting of all the post, you know, offices, vehicles. Well, they waited for the close of trading this was back in August. They waited for the close of trading and they went under, and now they are really going under. This whole thing is belly up. It's belly up. There hasn't been a lot of discussion about it. And this was one of the companies that Poot Booty Juice had celebrated. It was a company that Joe Biden had talked a lot about. It was, you know, eight EV charging stations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And this was after they spent $8 billion on this. So that's $1 billion per charging station, basically. Wow. Wow. And so part of their spending spree in the Inflation Reduction Act was to revamp these fleets. They wanted 60,000 new EV postal trucks. It was going to be called the NGDVs, the Next Generation Delivery Vehicle. And it was a defense contractor, and they were going to do this stuff. And it was just like, you know, the Biden Solyndra. Now everything that they touch just turns, as Trump said, to excrement. So they're not doing, they got the, by the way, do you know the, they only have a dozen trucks. The cost per vehicle was like $80,000. And it was like, what, $32 million that they had set aside for these vehicles? Where is Doge? I can't, they can't start recommending stuff fast enough. Yeah. What, here's a story. I'm going to make sure I get this right. This was from, Red State has this. It says, one of the sources from inside the company, this is a legitimate quote, quote, this is the bottom line. We don't know how to make a damn truck, end quote. But you got a big old contract to make EV trucks. What? So, yeah. How unbelievable is this? It's another disaster from Biden. Switching gears, there's some breaking news that's coming out of Wisconsin, I believe. The Abundant Life School. Apparently, there was a shooting that took place. The perpetrator is down, according to local media. It was Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. The Madison police are investigating. It was reported just before 11 a.m. Multiple injuries. They've closed all the roads off. And it, they think one of the reports, apparently from sources in the school, they were saying that it could have potentially been a student. I want to wait for law enforcement on that. I don't want to just speculate, but the perpetrator is down, and five apparently were shot, at least five people. That's all that's been confirmed at this point. No fatalities have been reported yet, but that's the latest, and they're going to be staging a press conference on that, and that's at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a school where, obviously, you have students all the way from kindergarten through the 12th grade. I don't know at what particular campus, or if it's all one campus. I don't know. They have 230 K through 12 students, and it's a 28-acre campus. It is a city. It's a with a city church and a campus for kids, but it was in Madison, Wisconsin. And so police were saying that it's still an active and ongoing investigation. So obviously everything's locked down. You're not going to get close to the school. They have everything blocked off. The media is staging at a nearby gas station. But apparently, you know, someone busted into the school and was able to open fire. And we don't have anything from law enforcement. I'm sure we will when they do stage a press avail. I'm sure they're going to give information about the perpetrator, especially considering the perpetrator is down. So, and I don't know what that means. I don't know if that means, you know, neutralized in a fatal way or non-fatal way. That's some of the latest. And we'll bring more information as we get it. But as you know, with these things, because we've been on air, and it's rare, but, you know, it's still rare, one too many. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to rush to be first on, because 85% of those times it's wrong. And people like to share, they like to get out there and, you know, it's a, turns into like a news cycle frenzy. So I only want to kind of discuss the stuff that's been confirmed. So I know that there have been a few things floating around about the perpetrator, but nothing's been confirmed by law enforcement. And I've even seen a couple of contradictory things to it. So when we get more information, I'll share that with you. But the perpetrator is they are saying that that person is down. Now, I have not seen any local media, law enforcement, or U.S. media discuss any kind of fatalities at this point. So, but we'll bring you all the latest with that. But that's, and I'm sure, because as usually is the case, unfortunately, with these tragedies, is you always have the left that wants to rush out there and start talking about how can we punish the law-abiding and the innocent for the actions of a murderer. And I'm sure that they're not going to waste any time doing that with this. But like I said, we'll bring you any information as we get it, but it is still, I don't know. It's a Christian school, so you know where my thoughts immediately went. Because what happened the last time there was a shooting at a Christian school? It was targeted. It was a member of Transtifa, and it was a woman who wanted to be a man, and she got into the school, and she started shooting children. And she should never have been armed. I don't know if that's the case here, but it just seems like in a lot of these incidents, as of lately, it's been a Transtifa member. So all I'm saying, just I'll bring you confirmed information as we get it. But police are going to be staging a press conference, and maybe we'll get. I would imagine we're going to learn a little bit more about the perpetrator when they do so. We're going to follow up with that. We have headlines on the way. Let me just tell you what else we have on the rundown. First off, we've got the settlement, the defamation settlement between ABC and Trump, because it was defamation. Now the media is very upset. They're saying that Trump is weaponizing. He's going after the media already, except he wasn't. I mean, they said that he was a rapist, and the actual court documentation, Lorraine's written tons about this, by the way, over at Substack, and the actual court documentation, they reject the rape aspect of it. So, and we'll dive into that. It's a weird, it's nuance that's important, because that's why they got, they're liable. So, and they paid because they didn't want to go through discovery. They paid $15 million so they could avoid discovery. So we'll dive into all of that here coming up as we move towards the bottom of this second hour. Our partners who help make it so, ReadyWise, they're always ready, even if you're not. Free and fast shipping on most orders. This is premium survival food, and they have an array of product choices to meet every budget. They have an emergency 1 month supply. They have a 3 month emergency food supply. Everything that they have is designed by their team of in-house culinary experts to make sure that what you're getting meets your nutritional values, your requirements, your proteins, your healthy carbs, all of it. The best in taste. These are great tasting meals with ReadyWise. And you know the chain of command from start to finish with your food. U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant sent to you, your U.S. doorstep. Comfort in a crisis and beyond with a 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout to get 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, I wanted to, there's two, I wanted to get this story. It's from The Hill that we had last segment, saved over. Millionaire boomers are less likely to share their wealth, according to a study, so it's their money. And who is you? 45% of wealthy boomers, they say, intend to enjoy their fortunes while alive. And they said that millennials plan to share their fortune. Good job for you. You can't take it when you kick the bucket. So what are you doing? Like, who cares? Who cares? They said millionaire millennials and Gen Xers are twice as more likely as boomers to prioritize sharing. I don't share. First off, I didn't even teach my kids to share. Do you know why? Because it is all about mental conditioning for socialism. And I think it's overrated. If you want to play with the toy that my kid has at the playground, buy your own damn toy for your kid. I don't care how mean it sounds. I don't do that. I'm all about kindness, but I don't believe in this forced idea of sharing. You don't have to share your wealth unless you want to, because forced charity is just resentment in action, and it is not anything biblical or anything or kind. That's all it is. So cry harder. Let's see here. Apple is taking heat over a false AI-generated news alert. Luigi Mangione had shot out. It was apparently like a fake thing that went out. I could have probably said that's false, you know, looking at it. He hired a powerhouse attorney. Nobody who makes the moves that he's made is going to know. An OpenAI whistleblower was found dead in their San Francisco apartment. Yeah, he was blowing the whistle on AI, and there was a ton of lawsuits over its business model. The 26-year-old, I'm sure it was just from old age, right? I'm sure it was just totally. 26. Oh, I don't know. He accused OpenAI of violating U.S. copyright law while developing ChatGPT. All kinds of, lawsuits were filed. The medical examiner has not released his cause of death, but they said, well, currently there's no evidence of foul play. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Apple plans thinner foldable iPhones to revive growth because they've been plateauing. That will happen when you release basically the same phone every other year, I gotta say. I got the new phone. I don't think you need to get the new phone. If you got the 15, it's fine. The 16 does not any. I mean, the camera's not bad. I think the cameras have gotten worse. Am I the only person who thinks that? I think the photos actually are worse. Yeah, I do. I actually do. But they said that they're gonna change and they wanna revive growth. Because they've only done drip incremental upgrades over the years. So now they want to introduce a super thin iPhone that you can fold in half. I might be interested. You know I like gadgets. Let's see. Hawaii's population continues to decline as more people move to California. And you want to know why? Because the high taxes, the insane cost of living, and the incessant Democrat leadership has ruined everything. That's why. That's why. And then they go to another state that has just the same thing. A passenger stood for a 7-hour flight, and a lot of people were talking about it. It was a 7-hour flight, and they said she wouldn't sit down. They said that she stood in the aisle for the entire flight. Maybe she had just, you know, had surgery or was uncomfortable or has deep vein thrombosis or something. She didn't bother anybody. She moved out of the way when she needed to. Stick with us. We got more in store. As we move, our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee, the only coffee worth drinking because everything else is commie swill. Black Rifle Coffee has a new roast, their Freedom Roast. It's what the founders would have drank, They would have drank it, totally. Had Black Rifle Coffee been around then. Veteran-owned company. They employ veterans, active duty. And their Freedom Roast, so smooth and full of flavor. And you can save 20% using code Dana. And while you're there, subscribe to the Black Rifle Coffee Club. You get free shipping, automated orders right to your doorstep of your favorite brew. So you never have to ever go out of a morning, all like stressed out and caffeine-free because you ran out of coffee. You never have to do that. Always convenient. And you don't have to just get the Freedom Roast. You can also check out the Silencer Smooth, the Just Black. They have many, many, many different types of roasts. And if you're good on, you know, your coffee, which they have whole bean K-cups and ready to drink, ground as well, then you can get apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Perfect Christmas present also helps everything you to get everything you need for the perfect brew. So the Freedom Roast, Black Rifle Coffee, taste the other top shelf roast as well. Whatever you decide, though, you get 20% off. With code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this second hour. You can listen coast to coast as well. So we're getting more. There was a very short briefing that. It was South Central Wisconsin. The police chief, Sean Barnes, said that was talking about the school shooting that just took place at a Christian school. We're getting more information about it now. It was a private Christian school, Abundant Life Christian in Madison, Wisconsin. And just right before 11, it was 10:57, from what the police chief said, that they responded to the reports of the shooting. They found multiple victims, and it was a juvenile who appeared to be responsible. That juvenile, who they say appears to be responsible, is deceased. Seven transported. Originally, they said three fatalities, including the killer. I never include the killer. So two fatalities. But then I read that apparently they had two other victims that just passed. So now five total fatalities. If you include the killer, I would say four total fatalities. And nothing reported about the type of weapon used, anything like that. The ATF is on scene, and they're going to be probably after we are off air, they're going to have another press conference with more updates. They also have five wounded as well. So we don't really have any, we don't know anything about the victims. We don't know how many were students or how many of them were staff. We don't know anything about that, but the police did say that it looks as though the perpetrator, the killer, was a juvenile, and that the perpetrator is deceased, so they are down. And I don't know if that's because they killed themselves or the police did it. We're going to get more information about that. But like I said, this was at Abundant Life Christian School, private Christian school. And they are working still. The whole area is shut down. And they're working still to make sure the area is contained, etc. So that's all we know at this point. Like I said, we don't really know a whole lot more. But that is what we do know at this point. And and looking at some of this, it's in Wisconsin. It was about 10:57, I think, is when police said that they were called. And they have four fatalities, five if you include the killer, and they have five injured as well.
That number's seven now.
Is it now seven?
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's
seven injured
now. So the wounded is the wounded being reported. They said up to 12 may have been injured, but they're now confirming. Police are confirming that there were seven. Now it's a a smaller school, but it's kindergarten through 12th grade that attend the school. And so their police are saying that, and again, four killed. The killer is not included in that number. So that's why I don't say five, because I don't include the killer. So four, we only include innocent victims. So four fatalities, four innocents. And that is multiple injuries. And they said that they confirmed, again, they confirmed the injuries. I think of what did you say? Seven now? Seven injuries? On the roads are still all blocked off. And we don't know anything about the perpetrator. We don't know anything about the weapon used. Nothing about that. And, you know, as we get it confirmed, we'll share it with you. But I would imagine that we won't know anything else about it until I think everything else is going to be speculation until you get confirmation from law enforcement. And that press conference isn't expected to happen until I think it's 2:30 Central. So it'll be after we're off air. It's incredibly, it's just horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. We don't know anything about the perpetrator, but a juvenile in possession. So I'm already thinking that this is, you know, obviously, depending on, I don't know what the type of weapon used was, but, you know, if they were a juvenile, I don't know what grade they were in. If it was a teenager, if it was an under 18, that might be someone who's prohibited to possess, depending on some of the other factors. So we'll get that information to you as we get it. And I want to make sure that it's confirmed information and not just speculation. So we'll have all of that for you. But that was Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. It's incredibly unfortunate. Loss of life is always incredibly unfortunate. Speaking of loss of life and several other things, I wanted to touch on this audio that I, it's the Raphael Warnock audio or interview. This interview that Raphael Warnock gave, which was pretty wild. He was speaking about abortion. Now, if you remember, Raphael Warnock has always been very, very far left, right? A very, very far left, a huge abortion supporter. And he had given this interview where he said he supports abortion because it's what Jesus would have done. I put this up on Facebook and a lot of you lost your minds, deservedly. He was talking with MSNBC and he was on her program this past week. And he's, and now, we know that he's further on the left because, we know where he stands on abortion, and we know that he's been supportive of it up till the moment of birth, because he was the guy who sponsored that Senate bill that was going to codify a taxpayer-funded abortion on demand up until the moment of birth, and he sponsored this provision. They were slipping it into the really weird name, Women's Protection Act, which was just goofy. It had nothing to do about protecting women. And he defended it. And this was during that, when he was facing off against, he was in fighting for the Senate seat. And he was going up against Herschel Walker. And remember that whole thing? And his fight with Herschel Walker on that. So he was asked about this. I want you to listen to this audio. This was him talking to Joy Reid. And this is how he justifies it. Remember, he calls himself a quote unquote reverend. Listen.
It's one of the things that's on the ballot. And, you know, I get a lot of pushback from people who seem to think that they own the interpretation of the gospel. But I've been studying the scriptures my whole life. I'm committed to the faith.
Really?
And as a pastor, I have a profound reverence for life. And as a pastor and a person of faith, I have a deep respect for choice. And I still think, as I've said time and time again, that a patient's room is too small and cramped a space for a woman, her doctor, and the United States government. But if we care about life, you know, black women are dying 3 to 4 times the rate of white women in childbirth, as a result of childbirth. And so if you care about life, we ought to find a way. That's a place where government could show up and address the obvious bias in our healthcare system.
It's what Jesus would do.
I think it's exactly what Jesus would do.
Senator and Reverend.
Wow. 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 First off, I don't know where he gets that weird I keep hearing that statistic, and I've seen it, you know, on a number of different entities try to debunk it or put context on it. What he just said there is one of the most demonic things I think I've ever heard. Now, again, his position on abortion, I'm not exaggerating when I say up till the moment of birth. The language of the proposal that he had sponsored was just that, up until, I mean, quite literally, as the baby is being delivered through the birth canal. That's demonic. Because you should have made up your damn mind, first off, if you're an abortion supporter and you like to say safe and rare, shouldn't you made your mind up, like, I don't know, a heck of a lot earlier? Actually, the question is, shouldn't you made your mind up when you were looking at what kind of prophylactic to use, or what kind of birth control pill to use, or what kind of million other things that you have at your disposal that you could have used, or when you just engaged in the act anyway? So I'm not exaggerating when I say he believes in murder. This is not just abortion. This is murder. Abortion's murder, but this is like the baby's alive and here on earth. Oh, let's kill it. Don't want it. Decide I didn't want it. That's how far this, and every Democrat senator agreed with it. They were all co-sponsoring it. So that's why I say the party has gotten so extreme on this. That's not just, I'm not exaggerating. That's pretty extreme. And it's incredibly extreme. When you look at Democrat voters, they actually don't support it after 15 weeks. They don't support abortion after 15 weeks. So even by Democrat measures, that's super extreme for the left. But that's where every Democrat senator was. Not to his point that somehow it's what Jesus would have done. That's what Reed said. And Warnock goes, yeah, I think it's exactly what Jesus did. That's literally the opposite of what Jesus had said to do. In your womb, I knew you. Do not murder. I mean, it's pretty clear. And I just found that absolutely reprehensible. Even the devil can quote scripture. And the fact that Raphael Warnock can label himself a reverend is proof of that. The fact that he can just do this 30,000 foot, I'm gonna cherry pick what I want to cite out of the Bible and not provide any context, or just pretend that it affirms my worldview. That it's demonic. And there is a great warning biblically against people like Raphael Warnock, who are cosplaying as shepherds of the flock and misleading people, leading them astray. The Bible is very clear all throughout the New Testament. You have a millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea, the depths of the sea. If you cause one of these little ones to stumble, he wasn't just talking about children. He was talking about people new in faith. People were coming to Jesus. Wow. And there is a there's a serious level of accountability for people in positions of shepherding. A high level of accountability and a high penalty for it when you abuse your power and you mislead people. And that's there is not anything rude or hateful that I could say about Raphael Warnock that is even going to compare to the penalty that awaits him upon his death. Because the good Lord above is that there, it's pretty clear. I guess he missed that part of scripture. You know, I guess he missed that part of scripture. Maybe it was when he was hitting on his wife or something. I don't know. Beating on her. I don't know. Maybe he just didn't have time to read it. We have a Florida man on the way as well. Some of the other things we're going to be touching on, just to keep you updated as to what else is on the table, why you don't hate the press enough. A Z-list actress masquerading as a reporter flexes for clicks about releasing a notorious torturer in Syria. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to get into this issue, this piece. Kamala Harris is considering another run for elected office. Why? I don't really. So we got to talk about that. Also, Ireland and Israel. Israel is closing its embassy in Ireland. And there are a lot of people apparently like I saw Matt Gaetz tweet something and I was like, this is ignorant of the history of Ireland and where they have stood on this issue for a couple of generations now. So we need to have a little quick history lesson on that. We got a lot of stuff to hit.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Florida man exposes himself in public after asking a woman to take his picture. A 36-year-old illegal alien from Guatemala, he came into the country illegally, was arrested for the second time for the same crime. He goes up to women, says, "Can you take my picture?" And if they're nice and say yes, then he whips out his male copulatory organ. So a Florida woman and her 11-year-old daughter, they were in Martin County. They were taking pictures of holiday decorations, the Christmas lights and everything. And a man asked to have his picture taken using his cell phone. And like he was going to get pictures of himself with the lights. And she was nice and said she would do it. And then once she took one photo and then he gestured below his waist to get her to look down. And when she did, everything was out in the wind. And so she immediately notified law enforcement. He was arrested before exposed himself. And he apparently, I mean, this is, he had asked two women to take his picture literally almost a year to the day and did the exact same thing. So Homeland Security Investigations, they put a detainer on him. He was going to be charged with illegal reentry after this other case concludes. But oh my gosh. And they think that there's probably more victims that this guy has. That's so weird. Why are people like that? Just stop it. Stop being weird little perverts. Weird. A Lyft passenger was arrested after a shocked driver found him naked in the back seat. The suspect told police that he quote, got a little naked after he was overcome with a, quote, feeling. Oh, gross. 48-year-old passenger, who was not named. He was picked up in Lakeland near Tampa, and the driver heard a strange noise from the back seat. He was shocked to find that the passenger had taken off all his clothes, and he immediately told him to stop. He contacted the police and reported that Lyft actually, you can notify Lyft with a button, you know, like if you're a driver. They contacted police, said one of their drivers was in a very uncomfortable situation. And the suspect said, yeah, he only got a little naked. And that was, you know, that's all. No big deal. So he was charged with exposure of sexual organs and he was taken into custody. What is up? Like, is it a full moon? Like, what was happening? Yeah. Good night. Let's see this. Here's one. This one may be one for the books. A meth-smoking Florida man attacked a mattress in a jealous rage. Fort Walton Beach. A Florida man used a bedpost to attack a mattress because he thought it was a man hiding. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office, they reported that 37-year-old Felipe Oquendo was saying that he thought that his girlfriend was cheating on him. And he thought the mattress was a man. And so he tried to beat it to death. He literally ripped off a bedpost and then locked the bedroom door. She was able to escape, and then he beat the mattress.
Good Lord.
And then he later admitted to having smoked meth.
Oh.
Obviously.
That explains it.
Yeah. Stick with us. Our third hour is on the way. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour here on Monday. And you can, obviously, you're listening to the radio program in some capacity. Channel 347, the simulcast, DirecTV, as well as on X, the chat's at Rumble. We're following this ongoing story of the shooting at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. And already there are, we don't even have all the facts in. And I'm stunned at, always stunned. It never stops being stunning the way that the left rushes to politicize this stuff. You already had the Giffords organization out there saying school shootings should not be common. Well, they're not common. The amazing thing is that, first off, if it's a juvenile, then how did the juvenile get possession of a firearm anyway? Number one, they can't just go out and purchase one. So they're already barred from legal carry. Number two, it's been for 30 plus years now. Schools are gun-free zones. You can't bring a gun on school grounds. You can't. I mean, I don't know why we have these anti-gun lobbyists out there that try to insist otherwise, but for 30 plus years, that has never been the case. They're gun-free zones. So immediately they're out there trying to politicize all of this. But this school was a gun-free zone because they're all gun-free zones. All of them. And then I don't know. We need to get more information about maybe the motive. Maybe we can find out they don't even know if it was a handgun or a rifle. They don't know. Police have not released that information. They have not released those details. But the problem is it is another gun-free zone. I don't know if Abundant Life School has an SRO program. I don't know if they allow teachers who prove capable and who are willing to carry. I don't know if that's something that's allowed. These are all things that we have no idea of. We know nothing about it, nothing about any of it. But yet we already have lawmakers out here trying to politicize it. I'm just not quite sure how you can propose solutions when you don't even know exactly the full scope of what the issue. I mean, obviously murder is also illegal, but instead of nobody, again, mental health, how was this? If this was a juvenile, what led this juvenile to this position of killing people at their school, at a Christian school? Could it be Transtifa? Because the last time there was a shooting at a Christian school, it was the issue of Transtifa. So I'm just wondering, there's a lot of information here. Ed Markey had said, quote, there should be no school shootings. I'm heartbroken. We must act now to end gun violence. Again, what law would you have passed to prevent this? They've been banned on school grounds for 30 plus years. Maybe we could ask questions as to how did this juvenile get a firearm? What led to this juvenile getting a firearm? Also, maybe something, but no, they're not going to bring any of that up. Heaven forbid. Gun-free zones are magnets, as my friend John Lott has said, for this murderous criminality. I mean, they're magnets for it. He noted, too, in the thousands of schools where teachers are permitted to carry, no one has been wounded or killed in an attack during school hours. Only where the schools make no exceptions to federal law. And by the way, that's like you have to go through a whole program and you have to work with law enforcement and you have to be like specially, you know, trained and all that stuff if you're a faculty member carrying at school. This has only happened where there's been a complete ban on any kind of use of lethal force in defense of the children there. And they've never, I mean, the anti-gun lobbyists have always said, well, if you're going to allow teachers to carry, they're going to get stolen. And nothing has ever come to light that supports that claim. That has never materialized into something that's real. And no one wants to force teachers to carry. I don't want a teacher who doesn't want to carry to carry. You know, at my kid's school, there are a lot of, you don't know who's armed, but a lot of people are armed. And they have the double locking doors and all that. That's the other thing. How was this individual able to get a weapon in school? What was happening in the student's home life that the parents were unaware that the student was able to get something, a weapon into the school? They had no idea. No idea. When you create a gun-free zone, what you're doing is you're advertising a place where someone with murderous intent is not going to receive any kind of strong resistance. That's why gun-free zones are targeted. It is insane that this has to be explained to anybody, but, you know, anti-gun lobbyists. I mean, remember, there in the previous tragic cases, there have been numerous instances where certain areas or certain prime targets were abandoned because they were deemed to be too hard of a target for a killer. And so they went somewhere else where they knew there would be less resistance. And when you go into a gun-free zone, you're a murderer and you have the intent to kill, you have guaranteed that you are the only person that has the means to lethal force. You're the only person. I mean, it's, in fact, one of the things that Lott has noted is that the Covenant School, or the perpetrator of the 2022 supermarket shooting that was in Buffalo, that killer wrote in his manifesto, verbatim, this sentence, quote, "Areas where CCW permits are outlawed or prohibited may be good areas of attack," end quote. But see, nobody in the press discusses this, because it's inconvenient to their narrative that they need to peddle in order to punish the innocent and make you a greater target in the face of evil. I mean, I don't like gun-free zones. Don't like them. And I think you need to be able to have access to lethal force, especially when you're talking about protecting the lives of your children. Why is it that anti-gun lobbyists, they're willing to use, you know, lethal force for other things? They're willing to drone people overseas. But oh my gosh, if you've got someone looking to shoot up a kindergarten classroom, heaven forbid they have anyone there that uses lethal force to resist that. I do not understand that concept. So it doesn't matter what laws you pass. This person, if what has said that they were a juvenile, if they were a student, and they were under the age of 18, they're not going to be able to buy anything anyway. What are you talking about? They're going to be able to run, and you can't take it to school anyway. There's already a law. You can't make the law more illegaler. Doesn't work. Gun-free zones are what people who hate the innocent create, and they give them a false sense of security. Just, for instance, I try to avoid, and I will only go to a gun-free zone if I absolutely have to for work. Otherwise, I don't go. Like, for instance, a restaurant that I hate, the Cheesecake Factory. I hate the Cheesecake Factory. I do. And their portions are comically huge. The menu is too big. I have a very John Taffer approach to restaurants. I worked in food service all going through college. You know, I had grandparents that ran a tavern. Are you a fan of the Cheesecake Factory, Kane? I think there's too much. It's too much.
It's a novel, that damn menu.
The menu is like a Harry Potter book.
It's like 30 pages.
It's ridiculous. You don't need that many food items. Rotate it out. You know what I'm saying? Keep it fresh. But they banned, they're a gun-free zone. They're in my town. And I never liked going there anyway. I had a kid that liked going there because obviously cheesecake. So, walked up to the doors one day and saw they had fresh new signage. And in Texas, you have to post your signage. They were so petty how they did this. I love it. If you're going to demand that no one carry on your premises, and as a private property owner, you have that right, we're going to make it super ridiculous, the signage. And I think it's funny because you have to have English and Spanish, and it has to be, you know, a certain type of font, no smaller than, you know, what a certain type of size. It has to be posted in a very specific location. It has to be posted this way. It can have this on it. It can't have this on it. And anything else is not legal signage. Well, they went to the effort of putting up legal signage, and I just reached out to grab the door. I saw that sign, and I dropped my hand down. Asked their manager. We're like, well, so what is your security here? And they go, what do you mean? I'm like, well, okay, you're what? You're the manager. We had to go above the manager because I was very curious. And apparently it was their corporate office. It's their policy. I'm like, okay, well, what's your security then? What do you mean, what's our security? Seriously? Do you have armed security then if you're demanding that patrons enter your establishment? And by the way, if you were going to go into that restaurant, say you're going there for dinner at night, you have to park in a dark parking lot that honestly I think needs more lighting, and walk, you know, a block to get to it. And it's, you know, at the back end of the town. So, you know, there's not a lot happening back there. If I was going to attack someone, I would attack them there completely. Kane agrees, as he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You know where this one is. And they're like, yeah, we don't have armed security. So they don't have any security, but they don't want you to be able to protect yourself. So we don't eat there. I do not eat at Cheesecake Factory. I haven't been into a Cheesecake Factory at least 8 years, probably longer. It's been a long time. I see it and I don't go in. But I do make a show of it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not drama, but I can be on this issue. Because I'll act like I'm opening the door, and then if I see the sign, I'm like, oh, I can't go in here. Everyone's defenseless. I don't want to be a sitting duck. Heaven forbid that someone with less training than I have and someone who knows less about gun law than I do make up the policies in order to keep your patrons sitting ducks. You know, they know more than me, clearly. So I don't go there. Just, you know, but it's just, it's too, I don't want anyone's product or food enough to risk my life. And you might think that that's, Dana, you're being dramatic. I had someone try to break into my house and kill me. They flew halfway across the country because they hated me. So yeah, I think I do. Absolutely. And maybe, I really envy the luxury that some of these anti-gun lobbyists have, the luxury of never having to worry about their safety and security because they live in an ivory tower, or never having to worry about it because they outsource it to their security, which I've always thought was fascinating. That is one of the most bigoted things I've ever seen anybody do. You're an anti-gun person, but you're fine with allowing someone else to take the bullet for you. You hire security, someone else to do the work of defending yourself. I find that to be grotesque. You're an anti-gun, but you're really not. You're just anti-poor people being able to defend themselves. That's what it is.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, now they're saying a cooking oil is fueling colon cancer in young Americans.
Cooking oil. Seed oil.
Cooking oil. Identified seed oils are culprits behind colon cancer. But how long has this been in grocery stores? How long could you go and get seed oils in the supermarket?
Vegetable oils, seed oils for decades.
Yeah, a really long time. So, I mean, I just use like olive oil or tallow or ghee. Yes. Which is great. There's nothing wrong with it. Let's see. A man... Good heavens. A man tells police that he's a professional drinker ostifer following a multi-vehicle crash. This is in Colorado. He was caught on body camera saying, I'm a professional drinker. And he said he probably had 10 drinks.
Did he get paid for that?
And then the conversation, he goes, oh, okay, hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a professional drinker. So, all right. And the officer goes, I gotcha. Like, I mean, he had a blood alcohol content of 0.326. Whoa. He's made of liquor.
That's four times
illegal. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Oh my gosh, how many nights walking. A woman was charged after allegedly crashing into ice on Lake Winnesquam. I'm pretty sure if I said that wrong, somebody will tell me. It was in New Hampshire. She was driving under the influence. Man, this is just screaming some Chappaquiddick kind of stuff, and it, woo, it's got Kennedy all over it. It happened a lake in Lake Winnesquam. The woman escaped through the car window, crawled across the ice, but her blood alcohol concentration was they said a little, it was above the legal limit, so that's her. Apparently it's going to go to trial in February, her case. Let's see another. A mother receives an eviction notice after waking up from a coma caused by a stroke. So in Washington State, she lives at the Wandering Creek Apartments. She suffered a stroke. It left her in a coma in a hospital for a month. When she awoke, she had received an eviction notice. She has limited use of her body. She has no idea how she's going to care for, moving and her two sons who are 12 and 7. She's gone to physical therapy twice a week. Her disability prevents her from finding work to help pay for rent. And she said that she's always been a hard worker. She's like, she just can't. She struggles to like cook and clean and do things like what she wants to do. Her mother and aunt are trying to help her. They have long waiting lists. But that's just horrible. They have a GoFundMe established to help support her. But man, it'd be nice the landlord is financially able to maybe just assist a little bit. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe they have their reasons. I don't know. But horrible story all around. Stick with us.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here at the bottom of this third hour. And we've covered a lot of ground in this somewhat busy news day. Now, the week before Christmas, so it's good to be with you. You can listen across the country, Channel 347 DirecTV, also at X and Rumble, where the chat happens. Joining us now, our very good friend, our expert friend, and he's been involved in two presidential administrations, so he knows his stuff. Senior research fellow for China NatSec issues at Heritage, and you can follow him on X at Yates Comms. He joins us now. First up, I got to ask you about the drones. I figured, you know, you've been, you know, you've probably seen some, you know, in politics and in government, you've probably seen some spooky stuff and, like, you know, been aware of some of that, you know, are these all Chinese and Iranian drones, or are these aliens? I just feel like the government's response is so cagey. I'm kind of hoping for aliens, but also it just seems like it's probably going to be China or Iran, or is it a drone off? Are they doing something and it's our military using drones as a way to, like, push back? I just am curious as to your thoughts on this.
Well, Dana, for someone who is my age, it was kind of fun for everyone to have an X-Files reboot over the last few days, just assuming that the truth is out there and that there's a government program going on. Now, when it comes to drones and where they're made, there really isn't a lot of mystery in that. The primary manufacturing platform for drones these days is China. And when it comes to chips, hardware, the drones, all of that, a lot of that is China, China, China. And especially if you're a cost-efficient shopper, you're probably buying from China. So, you know, whether you're government or private sector, it's a lot of work to try to get China out of that supply chain. Elise Stefanik, who's been nominated to be our ambassador to the United Nations, actually ran a bill that was trying to get exactly that, to get the CCP out of our drone supply chains. So it's really a topic that matters a lot. But it'll come as a shock to your audience that for the 4 years of the Biden administration, not a lot's been done to clean up that supply chain. And to make matters worse, we have a lot of questionable people coming into our country. Some of them are military age and unaccompanied by family and might be drone operators for all we know. The only thing we know for sure is that Secretary Mayorkas definitely didn't tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because he sort of said, this isn't a government op, and there is an investigation, but there's no foreign involvement, and it's just not possible to hold those three balls in the air without something else in the juggle.
Ooh, that's a very good point. This is so creepy. We're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates, who has better insight on this than most people. Because it kind of worries me to think that it could be an Iranian-Chinese sort of effort to do what? I don't know, as like a test run to see how far in the interior they could get. I mean, I don't know if that's the play. But the fact that there doesn't seem to be a greater demonstrated concern for our government when they admittedly act like they don't know what this is, that's shocking to me. I mean, if you don't know what it is, we got a little dinky drone that we had to register online. I mean, how would you not know what these are? These are way bigger, and there's tons of them. There was a video showing a horde of them. I don't know what you call them. I mean, it's a
swarm.
A swarm, yeah. It's like a murder for a bunch of crows. So, you know, a swarm of them coming in across, you know, from the Atlantic into New Jersey. One of the creepiest things I've ever seen. That bothers me. So how serious is this? Is this like some kind of like war game? Are they testing it out? Because it can't be ours.
Well, so I strongly suspect it is ours. And I strongly suspect that we have a government with no one meaningfully in charge at the top coordinating across different stovepipes. It would not shock me at all to know that the children running with scissors in the White House don't know what other parts of our government are doing. The fact that they sort of seem to cut off at a set time at night, there's nothing about the Iranian terror network that would suggest to me that they would want to do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Chinese like take a break to take a nap to continue their spy operations at a set time every day. But there's just so much odd going on in this that I sort of suspect it is something going on in the U.S. But the problem is drones do present a massive, significant security problem. And that what our government is telling us from the very top, our airspace isn't safe and is not secured by the people under the Constitution whose first job it is to do exactly that. So if you take the highest priority issue to me because of what happened to my family, and you add fentanyl into drone swarms that no one is in charge of, supposedly, and you have, say, a highly attended outdoor event, that is a recipe for terror and panic and devastation, the likes of which we haven't seen on the continental United States since 9/11 at the very least. I don't like that. I would much rather have someone I trust in charge. We just don't have that right now. So no matter who's behind this, obviously, we have to get through this next 30 plus days to get people that we might have a shot at believing telling us, friend or foe, are you keeping us safe or not? Is this an Iron Dome for the United States in the making? If so, just tell us.
That's an Iron Dome for the United States. That's actually that's very interesting to think that we could be in that kind of same situation. We're talking with our good friend Stephen Yates at Yates Comms on X. I was looking at this. Trump invited Xi Jinping to his inauguration. Is that like a power move? I'm kind of looking at it like it might be.
Well, I have to say, I throw up a little bit every time I hear this idea, but
because you love the guy who hates Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, well, how in D.C. and some other cities, there's a giant inflatable rat that labor protesters put out in front of buildings.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's my favorite
thing.
If
there was a giant inflatable poo that was on the National Mall and Xi Jinping or his particular delegates were forced to be proximate to that, then I'm cool with floating this idea. I just don't think Xi Jinping is going to come for something like this. So it is a power move to say we want to talk. I want to hold you accountable on fentanyl and COVID and stiffing me on the phase one trade agreement. But you're a big country. We want to lower tensions and want to push you back from this aggression. But let's work something out for peace and prosperity. All that fun stuff. I get the logic. I don't like the idea of throwing these invites out to the inauguration. I think the inauguration day is one for ceremony, but also rocking and rolling on some things here at home. I think the Trump team is prepared for that. We might have a world record of executive orders that undo the badness of the Biden 4 years and maybe throw in some deregulation and some goodness to do big things for America. But I say make Inauguration Day all about American revival and renewal and let the foreigners come a little bit later. But that's just me. No one asked. And the man did win by a lot. He can do what he wants with this, but I'm not a fan of the Chinese cheese coming to the mall on Inauguration Day.
If Trump had a giant inflatable Pooh Bear, though, you might
then
like
I'm
that.
Persuaded. Yeah. This is the antidote to all things crazy by making the world bad guys have to be crazy to show up.
Yeah.
If they stay at a particular hotel, that Pooh Bear needs to be outside that hotel, just like the rats outside the other labor protests.
Yeah, and they could have people out with Free Jimmy Lai signs out there as well. I mean, it does seem like if you're going to invite, I don't know if he's invited Keir Starmer or anybody British government, but that might be because, Jimmy Lai is a British citizen. I mean, couldn't there be some kind of, you come and then maybe we can make the case is that something that would be in the cards for Trump to do during inauguration? Is that a weird proposition?
Well, it's something that in free America with freedom of speech and assembly, you'd like to think that a First Amendment committed revival would say, this isn't the president's doing, but Mr. Xi, in our country, I'll give you some courtesy to come and chat and all that. But my people are going to be free to peaceably express their views. And guess what? You need to meet America. Mm-hmm. Because you freaking poisoned America over the last few years. You need to meet America.
Yes.
And I'd be cool with that, but I'm a little harder edge on these things than the average diplomat, perhaps.
Last question for you as we roll into the new year. We're not going to see you again until the new year, so we hope you have a wonderful Christmas, you and your bride. But I wanted to kind of looking towards January, because I know the tone of things are already changing, especially we saw it when Trump was over at the Notre Dame, the reopening of that after it being rebuilt after the fires, and the way that world leaders reacted. What we've talked about Europe, but what are you going to be watching for as his team moves from transition to occupying the White House and we have our new Congress seated? What are you going to be watching for in the Pacific with China, with maybe perhaps their relationship with Iran or any overtures towards the U.S.? Like what is on your radar? What are you going to be looking at in January?
Well, there's a lot that's China, but there's also a lot around China that matters. It's really, really important that one of the richest people in Japan, who was CEO of SoftBank, came to Mar-a-Lago and promised to invest $100 billion in America. On camera, Trump negotiated him to promise to make it $200 billion. And so the idea that we're a magnet for investment, that we are a place that people want to put their money to grow an economy, I just look for it to out of the blocks. Deregulate, open up federal lands for the resources the creator blessed us with to allow us to have the roughest, toughest engine of growth that is the envy of the world. I mean, that's basically what the president has promised, and I think it is doable. That sets the table for renegotiation with China and others, but Japan wants to be a part of it. Hopefully their government stabilizes. This Korean political madness has to settle down if we're going to have a reliable ally there. I hope it does. But with China, I expect that they're going to need to focus on tariffs and economic negotiations right out of the blocks, and we'll see what they get by way of a visit or early talks with the president. But I think that's where it's going to start out. Rev up America, engage China and other leaders, and let's push what this new era can deliver for us.
Got a lot to look forward to. Stephen Yates, as always, we're so grateful to you that you give us so much of your time and your talent and your expertise on all of these issues. And you really help set the perspective. And you've been such a treasure for all of us here and for our audience. So we're really grateful to you and wishing you the best Christmas and the happiest New Year. So thank you so much. God bless you and your family.
Right back at you, Dana, and to the audience. Michelle and I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a glorious 2025.
Amen to that. Good to see you, my friend. Travel safe. We'll talk again. Take care.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. I was I saw this one of these stories that over the weekend that had to do with Ireland and the Israeli embassy. They're closing their embassy in Ireland due to what they say are extreme anti-Israel policies of the Irish government. And that, it's not entirely surprising to see that. But what I thought was funny, because I saw Matt Gaetz and a couple other people tweet something out similar to this, where they were saying that it was due to the immigration in Ireland that made it so. Like, unchecked immigration ruins nations. Well, that's a true statement. But an immigration is a problem. Illegal immigration and the influx of people from where you have culturally incompatible. You know, I mean, you can't, like, beat people in the street if they're walking around unveiled. You can't, you know, women have rights, things like that. But in Ireland, they kind of have a history of this. I mean, it's not always been the best of relations. I mean, this is just kind of, they've dealt with anti-Semitism in Ireland. And obviously, you know, you have the World War II, the neutrality stance that they had. They even sent, I think even their government sent like condolences after Hitler offed himself at the end of World War II. I think they sent condolences to Germany. They're like the only country that actually did that, and they did not want to accept refugees fleeing during World War II. Every other nation was taking in legitimate refugees, not like what you see happening at our southern border. There have been there have been some issues with this for quite some time. It's pretty historical. They were, it's a lot. So it's not just this unmitigated immigration. It's a problem that predates this issue for Europe and has, you know, been several generations now in Ireland where it's been like this. So it's, I think, to say that it's just immigration kind of ignores the historical problem they've had and the fraught relationship that they've had with Israel this entire time. So I just wanted to point that out because I saw a lot of discussion about it. And I'm like, well, that's not actually historically accurate. I mean, yes, immigration there is a problem, but they have had this issue because they've always supported Gaza and Hamas. I mean, they've been friendly towards Hamas. They've supported, everything that Gaza has demanded. So it's been a weird, they've always had a weird relationship with Israel and not wanting to accept those refugees in World War II. And then, it's more than just the situation with immigration. We'll talk about it some more in depth tomorrow. We're out of time today. Today in Stupidity Came.
All right. Apparently at the Willard Intercontinental Hotel, the DNC was having their holiday reception this morning. Biden was speaking, and apparently Biden thinks he's leaving the best economy to Trump. Listen to this.
The one thing I've always believed about public service, and especially about the presidency, is the importance of asking yourself, have we left the country better shape than we found it?
No.
Today, I can say with every fiber of my being, with all my heart, the answer to that question is a resounding yes.
No, it isn't. And you may need to supplement some fiber.
I
think about it.
I'm stunned. Okay, there you go. Yeah. All right.
So that's our president. He's still president, right? Is he still?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
okay.
Entitled, anyway, he is.
Yeah. Just checking.
That does it for us today, folks. We're going to get set up for the rest of the year with this week. And make sure you go sign up over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Always stuff that comes out regularly on the newsletter. Find us at YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.